Welcome to the Midnight Writers Podcast, helping authors become better writers.
Episode 19, Planning Multi-Book Projects. This is John.
This is Lena.
And again, we have special guest, Paul Well.
Hello again.
Hello. Okay, so your first book series book was actually part of a series.
It was.
Was that planned to be that way?
It was. Because I'm insane. Yes.
Sensing a theme.
So what we've learned this month is Paul Well is insane.
Yes.
And if you want to be insane like him...
Here's how you do it.
It's a good day for it.
So how many books do you have in your series?
The first series I've written, which is currently the only series I have, is 5 books. And there's some other books that play in that same sandbox. And in that same timeline, but yeah, the actual series is 5 books.
And have you written standalone books outside of that?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So I have 8 books right now, novels, and so 5 of them are that series, and then the other 3 are books that are in that same universe. 2 of them in the same time frame and kind of twined around that story. And then the third one takes place some couple decades afterwards.
So then how different is it to plan out a book versus a series of books?
Yeah.
Like, what are the different things you have to think about?
Continuity is huge. Okay, so let me preface this all by saying when I started writing, I was very much a pantser. And for those at home, that's... a writer that writes by the seat of their pants instead of planning things out meticulously. And so when I started, that was sort of just my MO. Like, I GM'd that way. I ran all my games that way. I always wrote that way. There was no other way to be. And so I went into it thinking, okay, I know where I want everything to end up, and I know a few points through the middle that I need to hit. And I know that there's 5 keys, and if I do 1 key per book, then that's 5 books. And so it shouldn't really be a problem. And so writing the volume of text actually was fairly easy. The hard part was making sure that there was continuity and cohesiveness of actions, characters, places, plot lines and subplots and development arcs for different people and... You know, all those little things that a starting writer needs probably a couple, 3 or 4 books under their belt to get down right. And I just jumped right in and was like, I'll just do 5 books. It'll be fine. Again, what could possibly go wrong with that?
Well, it worked, so kind of, sort of.
I will not be the judge of that. That is for others. I like the story, but it has its issues.
I've only read the first one. The others are on my list. I haven't gotten to them yet. Sorry.
It's okay. There's a lot out there to consume, my friend.
Boy, isn't there.
So how do you track different things that you need to hold continuity for? How do you track that to make sure that you are staying?
Okay, so I have a friend who... he is a logistical mastermind, and he like really enjoys making spreadsheets and timelines and project plans and stuff. And he's also a good friend and a lover of science fiction and fantasy. So, he became one of my beta readers. And he also on the heels of that became my continuity guy. And so he helped me immensely by putting together an overarching timeline for the entire series and then a separate timeline for each book. And so he went through, as he did his beta reading, and slotted significant events into both of those appropriate timelines wherever they would fit. And then he would come back to me and kind of thunk me on the head and be like, okay, Derry can't come in here because you don't actually introduce her until there, and so nobody's met her over here, and you know, whatever the issues were, he was very, very good at finding those continuity discordances in the text. But as you guys kind of discussed on a previous episode, beta readers, they find a lot of that. And the writer, at least myself as a writer, I miss a lot of it because like, I know what I meant to say. And so it makes perfect sense to me, no matter how many times I read it and from what angles. So getting extra voices and extra eyes on it seems to be the trick to making all of that come together.
Do you use software like Aeon Timeline or spreadsheets?
Actually, I don't remember the name of the software. So Mike, that guy that does my continuity, he used some piece of software that's specifically for making timelines. And he was like, here's some files, download this program and install it, and you'll be able to view them, and you can see where you've done everything, so it's not just me looking at it. And I can get the name of that for you and send it to you if you want to post it in the notes, but I don't remember off the top of my head what it was. That's my bad.
Yeah, the only one I've heard of is Aeon, A-E-O-N, Timeline.
It's not ringing any bells, but that could be it.
If there are others, I would be definitely interested, because I've used that one, it helped.
Right, and I'm on a Mac, and it's definitely a Mac software, so, yeah. I will send you a note.
They actually just came out with Aeon 2.
Cool.
So, anyway.
The revenge.
But yeah, I've found that being helpful just with continuity on a single book, but I haven't planned out any series yet. Although I've gotten an idea started.
Well, that's good. It's fun. I mean, it just definitely... The biggest thing for me is, like, it was a huge challenge, and I really enjoyed it. I can tell you, though, by the time that I was getting into the fifth book and trying to wind down, I was seriously thinking that it would just be easier to keep writing this series indefinitely. Like, 50 books? Yeah, that's good. Rather than gathering up all the appropriate loose plot threads and tying things up. And, like, there was a lot to manage and try and get wrapped up into the story to close that series down. And still leave, like, a thread dangling for the reader, you know, because you don't want to necessarily close everything down. But yeah, getting to that point, like, it was an ordeal. there was a good measure of time where I was thinking, no, I'll just write a 6th and 7th and 8th and 10th and 40th book because I don't want to do this.
So how do you organize all this stuff in your mind? Because I have a, like, multi-book series planned, and just thinking about all the stuff I have to have organized, like, I have to, like, retrain my brain.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of authors use a lot of different methods, and, you know, I'm on a lot of panels, and I listen to a lot of people describe their methodologies for that. I just recently came across a piece of software on iOS and Mac. I don't know if there's a Windows Android version. Not that those are the same thing. I apologize profusely. Windows or Android. Anyway, it's called MindNode. And it's sort of a, I don't even know, I'm sure there's a methodology that's designed after, but basically it's, you just put out a bubble and you fill something in with it, and then you can throw other bubbles out there, and then you can link them together with arrows, and it's like, this goes this way, or it goes both ways, you know, and then you can do sub, like, spider diagrams.
Mind mapping type.
Yeah, that's it. So mind node, mind mapping, that makes sense. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
There's an arrow.
Right? So I just started using this because it came up as the app of the week on the App Store. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. So I grabbed it and I started using it. I'm like, oh, all right. That's pretty much the bomb right there. I can work with that. And it syncs across all of my devices. So anything I'm working on, are you looking for it?
So can you wait till we're done?
All right. That right there, that's go-getter. But yeah, it syncs across all of my devices, so I can work on it on my phone while I'm sitting and waiting for a kid to come out of a building and I don't have my iPad. I can work on it on my iPad while I've got a query running at the office, you know, and then I can go home and pull it up on a big screen and have it sitting there while I'm writing. It even allows you to do to-do list checkbox integration, so it actually hooks into Apple's
task manager,
the built-in task list thing that I don't know what it's called. Anyway, so it'll actually offload tasks to that, and you can check them off there, and it syncs up in the background to put little checkboxes in all the little nodes in your diagram. It'll build its own internal checklists, or it'll export there. And all of that stuff syncs. So that's what I have been using. But previous to that, it was spreadsheets and scratch paper, even though I'm kind of paper-free, so it's mostly notes, documents, and things, but same idea.
Oh, cool.
It's quite a heavy lift, though. There's a lot to keep track of. Yeah.
So when you're doing a multi-book series, do you follow a single character? Do you have different main characters per book, or how did you go about this?
So through my series, I followed it's third person, and I kept the camera behind Rihanna, who is the main character. It shifted to her sister every once in a while, but really it was third person following Rihanna as the main character. And it was sort of her story, but looking back, it's actually more her sister's story, just kind of told through the experiences that Rihanna has in her orbit. But everything's told from her perspective. Yeah. The new one I'm working on, which may turn into a series. I don't know. If it does, I think it'll just be multiple books in the same universe, chronologically ordered, rather than an actual series. I'm not sure yet. But that one, I'm actually shifting back and forth between a couple different people in terms of perspective. So, learning as I go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a question on releasing these books. So you've got your five books. How long did you wait between releasing each book? Or did you know?
As little time as possible.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was like a strategy behind it or something.
I get yelled at a lot about that on both sides. So I published the first book in 2007. It was 2 years to the second book, about 18 months to the third book, and then it was yearly after that. And I've tried to stay on a yearly cycle despite all the other stuff going on in my life. You kind of have to learn to balance, and this is just publishing in general and the series specifically. Like, you need to be able to balance quality of work with consistency of output if your goal is to become author person and maybe eventually possibly pay the bills or buy a snow cone or something with the money you make by writing. Those are wildly disparate goals, but both equally...
Goals are goals.
Yeah. Anyway, I tried to keep everything on at least an annual cycle. And the reason for that is to stay fresh in people's minds. When I was starting off, I think it was the second book is when I started going to cons. And, you know, you need to be at the cons, you need to be in front of people, and you need to be in the forefront of their mind if you want to gain any sort of recognition, audience. Right? Yeah, exactly. You're trying to build a platform and gather that audience. And statistically, it looks like, and I've heard this from a couple different people. I don't know where the actual numbers are. You know, most people who frequent conventions will not buy something from somebody they've only seen there once. You know, they usually wait until year two and they're like, oh yeah, I saw you here last year. Okay, I'll check it out. That's typically where you get your first sale. So first of all, you kind of have to become a staple. And for that to be a thing that carries forward, you have to consistently have new product available for people to pick up and look at. And it needs to be something that's weighty. You know, that putting out a couple short stories is going to be a good thing. It's not going to hurt. But I want to be a novelist. And so, you know, I don't want to put out a bunch of short story books in place of novels just to make that deadline. So I try to keep myself on an annual cycle. Now, there are those in my life who say that I should take a little bit more time sometimes, and they're probably right. But production cycles can be changed and adjusted by bringing in more people. So you make that work by adding labor, get more editors, get more people working on the project.
That's neat. Some great info.
And when I look this direction, for those of you on camera, I'm looking at my wife. She thinks I'm insane, and she's probably right.
I've never heard that word associated with you before.
Okay, so there's a couple things going on in that sentence right there. So one of them is people are talking about me behind my back, which I guess is kind of cool. I hope it's all good, or at least not horrible. The other is, yes, I'm insane.
Yes, he is!
She has spoken.
We enjoy your insanity, so.
Thank you. I enjoy it daily myself.
Okay. Well, thank you for this time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, sign up for our newsletter on our website, midnightwriterssociety.com, where you'll get a lot more great information. See you next Wednesday.